Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Well, here we are. Hour number three. That's how fast it goes. I'm telling you. It is 8:07 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Well, the answer is always yes. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday brought to you by Waste Pro, caring for our communities. Speaking of communities, Los Angeles just took a big old dump on their own election as far as I'm concerned. Yep. City Councilwoman Nithya Raman Noodle advanced Monday evening to a runoff election against Mayor Karen Bass. Where does that leave Spencer Pratt? Back to his beat-up old RV. He's all done. And it is very, very sad. The folks in L.A. had a chance to maybe vote for something, you know, that would be substantial
right.
in terms of a different direction, in terms of something positive. But it's not going to happen this time around. These elections and the way they do things in California, all the lefties are saying, well, you know, that's how they do it, and it's the law and it's the rule and all that. Look, do you want to do things right or not? This is a simple issue. The problem is Democrats are in control, and they want to remain in control through infinity. That's right. And they've got a system worked out that works to their benefit. And it's also interesting that, you know, the so-called talking heads and, the experts that they put on TV to talk about this kind of stuff. And they want to tell you that, well, you know, conservatives tend to vote early. The general rule has been, no, conservatives really like to vote on election day.
Right.
So that's number one. Maybe it is different in California. Okay, I'll give you that. They try to say that, you know, the liberals, the left of center people, tend to vote, you know, late, you know, right up there at the end, or they love to do the mail-in thing. Well, doesn't that make you scratch your head? Really? I wonder why they're so enamored by the mail-in. Now, certainly for some, it's very convenient. But for others, it could be an incredible conduit for cheating. Yeah.
In California?
Right. Yes. they busted a lady who was going to the different like homeless areas and homeless shelters and getting them signed up to register for votes, register to vote and doing something with ballots. That's a felony. And, you know, they're in the throes of taking care of that, I guess. But the left wants to pretend like, and they want you to buy into this, that election fraud is rare. And their thought process behind that is, see, you hardly ever get anybody really in trouble for it. You know, it just doesn't happen. No, because somebody doesn't get in trouble for it does not mean it doesn't happen. Hey, I only caught one kid peeing in the pool all summer long. Really? So we don't have a major problem. We kick that kid out. You don't do that in our pool. Well, do you think there's a possibility that maybe other kids got away with it and you didn't catch them? What do you think? It's the same thing here. The Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet GMC Skylines, and let's talk to Jerry. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Bob. This is incredibly frustrating for voters, particularly in Los Angeles, but also it has ramifications for the midterms. It defies credulity that Nithya Raman, that was always polling in third place, all of a sudden overtakes Spencer Pratt in the counting, in ballot drops that are like 99% in her favor. That just makes absolutely no sense. I personally think that... you know, I heard on another radio show that follows yours a couple of hours later that a caller had called in that she had moved from California to Tennessee, and she still gets the mail-in ballot. What California does is everybody gets a mail-in ballot, which they shouldn't get. And I think that they should change that. So here's a woman who from Tennessee, if she was unscrupulous, could still vote in California elections. And that's why these are so corrupt. And they always seem to come out the Democrat way. It's not really, it's not fair. And it needs to be almost federalized. I feel that it has to have a standard for performance and also for auditing so that everybody can have confidence in the elections.
Yeah, like in Florida, we have, you know, the advanced ID, so you don't have to utilize a passport to travel domestically. Since they changed the rules, Florida upgraded. We upgraded our identification system. We've actually done it a couple of times. One is to prevent fraud, more to, like, to keep your ID from being stolen. That was one of the major things. That's why, if you notice, the next time that you go in to renew your driver's license, you will get a different license number. I have had the same one from the time I was 15 years old.
Wow.
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
And when I got my new one, it was a different number. And I go, wow. Because I had my old one memorized, you know.
Oh,
I just
wow,
thought
yeah.
it was cool when somebody goes, yeah, I need your you need my license number. You know, here it is. So I've had it a long time, but the reason they changed it, and this was nice, is a wonderful woman that works at the DMV for Clay County in Keystone, and she explained to me that that was part of changing those numbers was part to protect your identity and fraud from going on, and because everybody has had the same mm-hmm. number for so long. So I thought, oh, wow. Somebody gave me a real sound reason that makes sense for this kind of a change. Well, I don't know what kind of system that they have in California, but when I was getting my license renewed here in Florida, she goes, would you like to register to vote? You know, part of your motor voter type program. And I said, sure. And so, you know, she did whatever notation or whatever. And I said, how do you know that I'm a citizen with the right to vote? Or not a felon. And she says, oh, that's all right here. They have that
really?
Information. Well, huh. when they did the upgrade,
right.
they included that kind of, I guess, background information
right.
or whatever, hence the upgraded identification. But so that's why Florida, we're not going to have nearly the kind of issues that other states have had. And these are changes that we've made over a period of years. I think it began really with the hanging Chad.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Was that 2000?
Yes.
Holy cow.
I know, crazy.
So anyway... It, my point here is, if California would like to have their election to have a certain amount of integrity, there are very, very simple steps that they could take, and simple steps that will benefit more than just elections, like I was previously stating with, you know, with identity theft and things like that. It totally makes sense. It's totally logical. And the only reason, once again, the only reason why they wouldn't want to go to a newer, more updated system and faster counting of votes and all of those things is because it allows them a wide swath in which they can cheat through.
Mm-hmm.
And you could not give me an honest and reasonable logic and truthful reason otherwise. You just can't.
All right.
What are you going to come up with? I have dismantled every single argument that they try to pose. None of them are even close to being acceptable. So you've got that. Yeah. It's sad that Spencer Pratt is out, and you knew it was going to happen. I told everybody it was going to happen the next
yes.
day. I go, man, I want to get excited. I know you're getting excited. You actually could have a Republican maybe as mayor of Los Angeles. Wow, wouldn't that be great? And I warned you that it wasn't to be, and it's not.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really, though, happy that Steve Hilton in the race for governor in the state of California will advance. Now, remember, he was winning.
Mm-hmm.
He was ahead.
Right.
Now, Beshira, who you can't tell me that this guy was a popular guy. He never really was. He, you know, he was a Health and Human Services secretary, what, under Obama, was it? But the guy's not a popular guy. And you're telling me he got more votes than Steve Hilton. Look, it's possible. But really, they wanted that Tom Steyer guy in there. And
yeah.
he's not that far behind. He was way far behind. He's caught up quite a bit. But they're making it official that Republican Steve Hilton advances in California gubernatorial race. And you know what that tells me?
Uh-oh.
Holy cow. How overwhelmingly did he really win if it was on an honest playing field?
Wow.
He must have crushed it.
Good point.
So,
mm-hmm.
We shall see moving forward, but we can't expect a lot of changes in the way they do elections in California. That has to happen internally. And, you know, the people that have skin in the game are like, we like it just the way it is. 8:17 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And we've got a lot more to talk about coming up, including us being your hurricane storm center. That's right. Hurricane season has begun.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Craig Cassidy is here. We're going to pump it up. We're not going to play the drums all day. We wait till Friday to do that. But the drums are going to be loud and clear, as well as a great performance everybody's looking forward to. The artist Todd Rundgren. Yeah, the guy that brings us the Bang on the Drum song that we play every Friday. He's coming live to the Circle Square Cultural Center Sunday, June 28th. It's a great venue. You know, there's not a bad seat in the house. And 97.3 The Sky, the Bob Rose Show, we're going to give you the ultimate VIP night out. Premium up-close seats to see Todd Rundgren, plus a fabulous pre-show dinner at Whistling Duck Southern Tavern. Awesomeness. You'll be blown away by that food. I guarantee it. But this will start, this promotion, if you will start Monday. And you just listen to the Bob Rose Show for the daily code word, and then you text it to win your VIP package. So, you know, you'll get the next code word coming up starting Monday. Message and data rates apply. So good luck. That is going to be a good time.
Nice.
No doubt about it. All right. June is Valor Month, so we have a Valor recipient we're going to shine a spotlight on coming up in just about 10 minutes or so, 8:35. We do that Monday through Friday. And thanks to Lawful Defense, Shoot GTR, Campus USA Credit Union for making it possible for us to do that. And you can also go to thesky973.com and read the bios and backgrounds of these folks that go above and beyond. And we're very proud to be a part of that. Hey, can you stand some good news? American workers grew more confident in May, even as their expectations for inflation declined. So, you know, this is there's a term called expected quit rate. And when we look at that, that means that people are feeling confident about the job market, that they could leave a job and get a better one. And so that's a significant sign of a solid economy. The perceived chance of voluntarily leaving a job in the next 12 months jumped 2.6% to 20.8%. That is the highest reading since February of 23. The increase was broad-based across age, education, and income groups. So, yeah, this is just one of many economic-type measuring tools that they have. This is one of them, but with worker confidence up, and up substantially, and the highest it's been in a couple of years, Matt is that's significant. So that's pointing us in the right direction. Of course, the concerns, at least especially from the Fed, is they're worried, you know, about these people feeling good about work. Is that going to lead to inflationary pressures? So far, mostly good. And we'll continue to keep an eye on that. But look, and the stock market is doing exceptionally well. We're in pretty good shape. Once we get past the obstacles dealing with Iran, I think, you know, Scott Bessent had said, you know, last year, hey, the president is setting the table so that, you know, we can feast in 2026. And it appears that's right on target. And, of course, there's a situation with Iran, which is definitely a substantial speed bump to us economically. But that is temporary. Or as Janet Yellen would say, transitory.
Oh, that was
transitory.
Yeah. I'm coming to think she just didn't know what that word meant, and she meant something totally different.
I'm not sure what her her deal was.
Probably, you know, she kind of came off as she's probably a nice lady.
Yes.
You'd want to have coffee with.
Yes, that's why I'm trying to be nice.
But boy, she didn't. I don't think she belonged to that job.
Yeah, maybe not so much. Maybe there was a time when she was a better fit, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, it was 1932.
But, you know, yeah.
Well, but yeah, if you could get us through the Depression, certainly if you understand Depression, you might have a better idea of what inflation is, you know, kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Just saying. Hey, the latest World Health Organization update on the Ebola outbreak centered on Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, and they confirmed 534 cases of the disease, including 93 confirmed deaths. Obviously, we already know Ebola is a nasty, nasty thing. This outbreak, which they identified in May, but has conceded, could have begun as early as January, being first identified in one area of the DRC that is spread into Uganda. So, you know, Ebola, viral hemorrhagic fever. Hemorrhagic. That means you bleed.
That doesn't sound good.
No. And it has caused numerous outbreaks in Central and Western Africa in the past century. Current outbreak being caused by a strain, Bundibugyo.
That doesn't sound good either.
No. Death by Bundibugyo?
Oh, no. I don't even know what it means, but I don't like it.
It doesn't sound good. And there's really no known treatment, no approved vaccine. And so it's a serious situation. Of course, we don't want that to spread. We certainly don't. We don't want none of that around here.
Mm-mm.
But we might be dealing with a parasitic issue with the... what is that thing called? The screw worm?
Yeah. We reported it was in Texas a few days ago.
Well, listen to this. Three more cases of the New World screw worm have been confirmed, including one outside Texas, demonstrating the difficulty of stopping a pest that could potentially devastate the nation's cattle industry. Three more cases of the screw worm have been confirmed, including one outside the main cluster in Texas. The screw worm is actually a fly larva that eats living flesh instead of dead material. The flies lay their eggs in open wounds of animals like cattle, but wildlife, pets, and occasionally even humans can be infested. The government has a program to breed sterile male flies and drop swarms of them from planes to mate with wild females, which kept the screw worm contained at the southern end of Panama for decades. But it is moving forward anyway, it would appear. And the USDA and others extremely concerned about this. I've heard from some that say, it is serious, don't overblow it. I've heard from other people say this thing, if it gets out of control, could be extremely detrimental. So we don't want that. We're big in the beef business around here. And, of course, we don't want any American ranchers to suffer either. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And June is the month of valor. And we will shine that spotlight next on a first responder who has gone above and beyond. Right here on 97.3 The Sky.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They answer first, ensuring our safety 24/7. 97.3 The Sky salutes first responders. The Sky Valor Honors Program.
Valor.
June is the month of valor on 97.3 The Sky, the 10th anniversary year of our valor salutes. Every weekday, we recognize the bravery of local law enforcement and first responders. This is what valor is all about. Shining a light on these heroes who are first on the scene when the unthinkable happens. We honor their life-saving efforts that go above and beyond the call of duty to keep us all safe. The 10th annual Sky Valor Honors Program. Again this year, special thanks to the Valor presenting sponsors who help make Valor happen on the sky. Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR, along with Campus USA Credit Union. And thanks to associate sponsors, the Allen Law Firm, Crime Stoppers of North Central Florida, and BJ Trophies and Awards. Today's honoree, Officer Stephen Peters with the University of Florida Police Department. Peters is a Gainesville High and University of Florida graduate, proud to now serve the same community in which he was raised. Why is he being honored? Well, it was last September, around 1:45 in the morning. Peters was part of the apprehension of a dangerous fleeing criminal. While monitoring Gainesville police radio traffic, a wanted suspect was involved in a rapidly escalating violent event. Officer Peters proactively positioned himself near the Murphree parking area to help prevent the suspect from entering the University of Florida campus. The suspect was then spotted, fleeing across University Avenue, and Peters immediately joined the foot pursuit. During the chase, Peters suffered a serious injury, but he continued the pursuit and assisted in the successful apprehension of the suspect, placing the safety of the campus community and fellow officers above his own well-being. Officer Peters' action demonstrated courage, perseverance, and a strong commitment to duty during a rapidly evolving and dangerous situation. His actions exceeded the normal expectations of duty and reflect favorably upon both himself and the University of Florida Police Department. For his courage and strong commitment to duty during a dangerous encounter, the University of Florida Police Department and 97.3 The Sky are proud to salute the perseverance of Officer Stephen Peters, today's Sky Valor honoree. Sky Valor Honors Program presented by Campus USA Credit Union, Lawful Defense, and Shoot GTR. Thanks to Crime Stoppers of North Central Florida, the Allen Law Firm, and BJ's Trophies and Awards. Listen weekday mornings at 8:35 to The Bob Rose Show as we present another Sky Valor honoree. Perhaps it is time to do some reflecting. Hey, it's Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is here. Your favorite morning radio show in the whole world. Happy to be a part of it. Should we reflect? And if we're going to reflect, should we do it at a pool? Because I'm all for that.
Oh, you mentioned the pool earlier. That's a big thing for you.
Yeah. Who doesn't like that? I'm a bit of a water bug, I guess.
If we're getting with other people to reflect, so we would be a pool of reflectors.
Now, that is absolutely correct, and that's what it's all about. Maybe a sense of unity in our reflection?
Wow.
Yes. Once again, President Trump scores for the American people. Thank you, sir. The reflecting pool in Washington, D.C., not quite finished, but already wowing skeptics after months of criticism from the radical left. They cry and whine and complain about virtually everything, including a reflecting pool that the president and his people have done a fantastic job on. You know, Obama's administration spent a whopping $38 million to repair it, and it didn't get the job done. In fact, it got so bad, the pool itself, not to mention how bad it looked, was actually losing 45,000 gallons of water a day.
No.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That is incredibly crazy.
And Trump, being our builder-in-chief, he knows he and his people can do better, and indeed they have. President Trump's fix is comprehensive and included draining the pool, sandblasting, repairing all the pipes and bubblers, and restoring the color, the bottom of the pool. Doug Burgum was talking about this, the Interior Secretary, and he explained the bottom had turned gray, and Trump chose American flag blue.
Ooh,
as
like
the
that.
Bottom color.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. Deep, deep blue. Images of the nearly finished reflecting pool are circulating on social media, and people so far, they like what they see. Somebody said, I'd heard so much about the newly renovated reflection pool, I decided to come see for myself. It's absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Donald Trump, for helping restore our nation's capital. And a video that this person on X partially showed partially filled pool, which was in fact showing the reflection of the National Monument. Yep, the water is on. The reflecting pool is reflecting. And D.C. is looking better than ever. We are so back. Thank you, President Trump.
I saw a great meme about that, though. It said, wait till the Democrats get a load of this. And it had Donald Picture's face on the bottom of the reflecting pool.
No. Yeah. That, he might end up calling it the Trump reflecting pool.
You never know.
I don't have a problem with that. But Doug Burgum went on and he said, yeah, we've got the master builder here. We've got President Trump. He's the only guy that's ever occupied that office that's done the level of complex construction projects. He loves construction workers, loves construction. He knows exactly what he's talking about on these projects. Yeah, that's why, you know, when the left was trying to take issue, it's kind of like, you're barking up the wrong tree, because we already know this guy is a builder, and if anything, could get it done right. Remember he rescued New York City? What was it? I think one of them was like their the ice that they had,
the
that rink.
Yeah.
He fixed that, came in under budget, way under what others were going to charge, et cetera. He did that with several other, I think it was like park spaces and buildings related to parks and stuff. And so, no, look, he's the guy that can get it done more as a, you know, as a real kind of a contractor type person who demands excellence versus government that, well, let's just say, based on some of the projects we've seen, seem to, as the years go on, take longer and longer and aren't done quite as well in many cases. But like I say, we've got President Trump.
But he's got a record of doing things like this. It was in the mid-90s. They didn't have the money to do the Veterans Day Parade. And he stepped in, got support. But, you know, he's a Nazi. But, yeah, I mean, so this is not a new thing for him. But like you said, they keep trying to stop him. They got people to bail on the concert. They're trying to stop the UFC fight, you know, there on the grounds. I mean, they're fighting him at everything that they can, and yet he's trying to do something good for the American people.
Yeah. No thanks from old Howard Dean. Oh. For those of you, because, you know, we forget, to us it wasn't that long ago, when Howard Dean, he was doing very well in the primary years ago for the Democrats. He is a doctor. He had some a level of passion, and like I said, he was tearing it up. He was doing very, very well. And then he gave this speech, and at the end of it, he started sounding more like a pro wrestler. And we're going to take Michigan and Pennsylvania, and we're going to take this. And woo! That's what he did. I don't think we have it on a hotkey anymore. Do we?
I'd have to actually.
I know we did at one time. We used to play the heck out of it because it was so funny. And it's like,
yep. Here you go.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
It wasn't even a woo.
No. It was a yeah! And that... that was his Dukakis moment.
Yes.
Going back to an earlier reference where, you know, Dukakis had the old army helmet on, yes, driving a tank. When Democrats try to look macho,
I know,
it just falls short.
Dukakis looked like a 12-year-old with an army suit on.
He really, that army helmet that looked oversized, and he was sitting low in the tank. Yeah, he didn't look like Patton. I can tell you.
Maybe Patton's grandson, but... And you're right.
More like patent leather.
That did it for Howard Dean. For whatever reason, it just like, just
yeah,
it just
he kind of
him.
Imploded.
Yeah,
and ever since he has become an even more entrenched hater of all things right, conservative, and certainly of President Donald Trump. And he's the former Democratic National Committee chairman. Yeah, I didn't think he still held that position. And he was on MS Now. A show called The Beat. It's kind of funny. Okay. Maybe it's called The Beat because every other show on cable news beats them. I don't know.
Wow.
But he likened President Donald Trump's MAGA supporters to loyalists who stayed until the end of Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler's reign.
Can they just take the word Nazi and Hitler out of their rhetoric? It's just so old. Well, and then again, you like there's this support the guy that had to cover his Nazi tattoo.
Well, that
Come
was
on.
My that was my point. Maybe they shouldn't take it out of their, you know, completely out of their vernacular.
Right.
But maybe they should point it to people who actually have like a Nazi tattoo, perhaps. Do you know what I mean?
Now, there's
like,
a
you don't
thought.
Have to eliminate that terminology, but apply it to those who, you know, that terminology would clearly fit.
Not the guy that saved the Veterans Day parade. American veterans.
Or the best friend that Israel's ever had. That doesn't sound very Hitler-like to me. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, they named the neighborhood.
It doesn't really, does it?
No, they named the neighborhood after him and everything.
Yeah.
So that's...
Huh. Well.
Huh.
Let's give a shout-out to Howard Dean. That was pretty good.
I feel better now.
We just started a rock band.
But I'm not...
I think you could reach those high notes like David Lee Roth.
Ooh.
With that scream.
Yeah.
It Keep practicing,
just,
Greg.
It was just those tight leather pants, that's all.
See, I didn't even notice. That's the difference between you and me.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow.
Burn! What do you say? Burn! 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Yeah, we're having a good time. Why not? News Talk, 97.3 The Sky. All righty. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Waste Pro, caring for our communities. It is 8:49. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We're making the best of it. You know what? It's going to be another great day. Hey, the Hogtown Fair, which has been, you know, a big deal for a long time, and the fairgrounds got sold, and they're building a what appears to be a very nice building, I think, for Air Force Reserve on that old property. They're looking, where could be the home for the Hogtown Fair? Well, you know, they moved it to Depot Park, which was great, but it didn't really offer them the kind of room that they really needed, and they couldn't really, like, fence it off and charge admission, so... You know, that was tough for the people that put it on and or for the city to finance that. So they may have found a great deal if they can come to terms with the Gainesville Raceway, which is actually owned by the NHRA. I'm pretty sure it was privately owned at one time. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was when I first got here. Anyway, so they have to work something out with them. It looks like it could happen, and that would probably be a pretty good venue. Then they can do it. Remember they used to do it like over a period of like 2 weekends and some stuff in between, and the school kids all got to go and all that. I don't know. It was a pretty much a fun time. So, and I had fun like at, you know, when the venue was at Depot Park, but I see it was missing things like jousting.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really have. Can you have like a medieval fair without?
No, you got to have jousting and a big old turkey leg.
Well, and the big old turkey leg, I mean, no offense, but you can find that in other places.
Yes, you can.
But you can't find jousting just anywhere.
Well, no.
You know?
It's probably like probably not even legal in a lot of places.
You used to go to the old Saturday night jousting.
Some people are cruising on the main street. No, Bob was out jousting.
I got a wild question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do they still do, they used to do the mud trucks and the pulling out there in, what was that, Trenton? The Hitching Post?
Oh, wow.
Remember, I took Robbie out there when he was a little kid. I never hear anything about it.
There's somebody who let us know that lives out.
Yeah.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Do they still do that? Because, Greg, you got to go. You got to see it at least once. It was pretty fun, but, you know, cool back in the day.
But that is, I just like that whole thing. It just, well, I mean, Bigfoot, as in the truck, is from St. Louis. So, you know, I know. I've seen a little mud or two.
I thought Bigfoot was like from Helen, Georgia.
Well, that's a different Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. You mean like the truck that was in the movie?
Yeah, the big
Patrick Swayze movie.
The guy that started that whole thing is in St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
And so you drive by it's funny.
That was like the first monster truck.
It was really the one that made it famous, and you're right, it ended up in movies and all that kind of thing. And his shop literally is a major crossroads of a couple of highways. So literally, from all angles, you see this building out on this piece of property with like 3 or 4 different versions of Bigfoot out front from over the years, because they kept getting bigger and bigger. But man, that was a cool truck, still is. And then of course there were some other ones that came along later that
used to have fun. Crazy. Yeah, I took Robbie to a lot of those events with the monster trucks stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, that was always a good time. All right. Chief Financial Officer Blaze Ingolia lighting a fire under, you know, some of the folks' backsides in municipalities and counties around Florida, showing them waste and fraud and fraud and waste and lots of waste and lots of pet projects and stuff like that. And, of course, these folks in power, they hate it. They absolutely hate it. And, you know, why would they hate it? Wouldn't you really appreciate somebody who comes in and does sort of a kind of a quick audit? And, you know, then everybody realizes, you know what? There's some scrutiny here. Maybe there are some expenditures that we can do better on, and remind them that they're supposed to be good stewards of our tax dollars. You know, it's not a credit card and spending spree. You know, but Chief Financial Officer Blaze Ingolia escalated his statewide campaign against municipal overspending Monday, slamming Jacksonville and the city leaders there for a massive spike in wasteful spending that he says has grown significantly worse over the last fiscal year. Appearing alongside conservative advocacy group Americans for Prosperity, Ingolia stated that his office and their ongoing audit of local government budgets has exposed more than $2.5 billion in excess expenditures across Florida. And he pointed directly to Jacksonville as one of the state's primary offenders, asserting local leadership has completely ignored the public's demands for lower costs. Jacksonville previously had $199 million in wasteful and excessive spending this year alone. The question is, did the city of Jacksonville do a better job in 25-26? And the answer is not even close. They did a lot worse.
Wow.
According to data tracked by the Florida Agency for Fiscal Oversight, the city's new calculated wasteful and excessive spending figure has ballooned to $275 million for the current fiscal year. You think about teachers or police officers that you could hire, or perhaps putting that money back in the pockets of taxpayers that have been beat up over the last few years as their property values appear to go up. And so they're taxed at like 40% higher than they were just 6 years ago. And this money, it never ends. They never want to end their spending. They only want to create more avenues for spending. To determine what constitutes waste, Ingolia explained that his office uses an indexing formula modeled after fiscal frameworks in states like Colorado and Utah. The calculation takes a local municipality's 2019-2020 budget as a base budget and increases it incrementally each year to match the local rate of consumer inflation plus population growth. For major municipal budgets exceeding $2 billion, the state also factors in an extra 5% operational buffer. So basically giving you the benefit of the doubt in a few different areas. And even with that built-in $69 million safety margin, Ingolia revealed that Jacksonville's general fund budget has jumped 61% over a six-year period. Now, that's outstripping the city's actual expansion. The city's population grew by roughly 99,600 residents. Its budget increased by $840 million. He says, think about that. You have $1.3 billion budget in 2020 delivering services for 1 million people. The population just goes up, what, 10%? And then the budget went up $840 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, all of us, we have to tighten our belts. We have to find a way to get things done and take care of our families. But government don't seem to be held quite as accountable. 9 o'clock stretch coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.